former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Good evening. This is mentioned a few times. It's the fifth Sunday of the month, and we're going to take this time here to go to God in prayer, bringing particular petitions and prayers to him. I've asked four of the men of the congregation to lead us in those prayers. We're just going to go back to back, spending this time in prayer, offering up to God some of the things that's been on the prayer list here recently, the things to celebrate, the things to take before him. So these four men are going to come up and lead us in these prayers. And then I'll get up here in a minute and extend the invitation after all those things are done. Let's focus our minds. Let's humble ourselves and approach God. And as Ty just read for us, understand that Jesus is the one interceding for us and that he is taking everything that we say to God the Father and that we have direct access to him. And it's an incredible blessing. And let's use this time now to appreciate that. And so first we're going to ask Mike Hawk to lead us in a prayer of adoration.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening that we may be with our brothers and sisters and to praise you for the God that you are. Father, the privilege of prayer is one which we do not want to neglect, and we're so thankful that we have that privilege. Just to think that we can go to you, the great God in heaven, and that we can pour our hearts out to you and praise you and talk to you and to do to hold you up for the great God that you are, Father. And that is a wonderful privilege, and we pray that we do not just pray here at the church building, but that in our private lives, that we do not neglect this, that great privilege. Gracious Father, we know that you're the creator of all, that you spoke and that everything came into being, from the microscopic to the vast reaches of this universe. You made it all. And as awesome as that is, what is equally hard to fathom is the fact that you make it all work together. All those systems which are in place are biological systems which make it possible for us to be alive, for there to be life on the earth, and for the physical, for things like rain and sunshine and the seasons. And it all works together that man may live on this earth and enjoy your great blessings. That is so awesome. Father, we recognize that you are absolute holiness, and in you is found no darkness whatsoever. And our righteousness compared to yours is nothing. It's as the prophet said, our righteousness is but dirty rags. And the question we have is, who is man that you even give thought of him, that you consider him? But the fact is that you have loved man so much that you have provided for his salvation through the gift of your Son. And we are so very thankful for that, Father. And we praise your name for what you have done for us. We would pray that everybody in this world, that all men would come to know you and to realize that you are the God, the creator of all. Father, we thank you for your word, which is our guide. Help us in understanding your word. We thank you for all the many answered prayers that we have had here. Father, we ask you to help us to be humble. Humility is something which is difficult for virtually everyone. We all have pride, and we just ask you to open our eyes that we can see where we have pride and where we can, where it is in our lives, and to help us to overcome that pride. We pray for the sick that have been mentioned, Father. Pray for those that are weak. Pray that we can help them in some way, if possible, that they would come to love you again and strive to serve you. And we pray for those that have challenges of a private nature, and help them and bless them too, Father. Father, keep us ever near you. Increase our faith. And forgive us, Father, where we have fallen short of your great glory. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight, before I give my prayer, I'd like to read Psalm 51. This is where God's elect David is asking forgiveness for his sins with Bathsheba. I'm going to read this in Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your holy spice from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain with me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Beautiful psalm by David for his forgiveness of his transgressions. At this time, let us pray. O God and Father, we humbly bow as we approach your throne, knowing you are the only living God who can forgive our sins and renew our soul. We are grateful for your loving and compassionate kindness, knowing that you and you only can blot out our sins and iniquities when we are truthful and repent. Father, we know you desire all men to find salvation through your Son, Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Father, with this time, pray for those who have a penitent heart. We pray that today will be the day of salvation for them, so they may find that inner peace and fellowship with you. And we know, Father, that if we diligently seek you, we will find you, for you are ever present. And we know, Father, when we become a child of God, that you will abide in us and we will abide in you. We ask these petitions and prayers in your Son's name. Amen.
Let us bow in prayer once again. Our God, our Father, which art in heaven, once again we give you thanks, Father, for this day, for waking each of us up this morning. Thank you for this evening that we are able to come together to pray to you and to let our needs be known to you, Father. We thank you for this day that we were able to come and to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, to remember Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. We're so thankful that he died on the cross. Because of him doing so, Father, our sins are forgiven. Help us that we may share that with those in the world, and that we may encourage one another as well to continue to fight the good fight. We're so thankful now, Father, that there are many among us that we have prayed for this week, last week, and months. But in particular, Father, for those that we have prayed for that have had surgery, we're so thankful for our sister Reba Porter, that the surgery that she recently had, that she was able to have a good surgery and that she's having a good recovery. We just thank you, Father, that you watched over her and that you was with the doctors and all those who were doing the surgery. We praise you for that, Father. We know that as your children, we can always depend on you and know that you are with us, Father. And because of that, we are so thankful. We're also thankful for the surgery of Beth Helton's brother, Daniel. For we understood that the odds were not that great, but we know, Father, when we came to you, Father, that you was with those doctors as well. We're so thankful that his surgery was successful. We pray now, Father, that as he recovers, Father, that you would be with him. And we pray most of all, Father, that he would continue to recognize you and to know that it was you who helped him through the surgery. We ask, Father, that you would help the family as well. We thank you, Father, for Stacy Hastings' uncle, and as he had the heart attack, we thank you for his recovery of the heart attack, and as he continues to recover, once again, we give you thanks as we prayed on his behalf, and we're so grateful for the strength that he's been able to regain, and we pray that you would continue to strengthen him. We pray that as he regains that strength, that he may be an example to not just to the Christians, but to those that are in the world and to those that have attended to him in the hospital, that they may look to you and that they may desire to be more like him. We thank you, Father, for the new sister that we have in Willow, as she has learned of you and she has decided to put you on in baptism. We pray, Father, that we would help her as she grows. We thank you, Father, for the example that she is, and help us that we can be a good example to her as she walks this journey. We're so thankful that we have your word, that we all can study your word, and that we can know that your word is true. Help us, Father, that men would say many things in this world, but help us to know that your word is true. And help us always to look to your word for our guidance in this life. We thank you, Father, for this country that we live in. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you without any harm. But Father, help us to have the courage to know that even if the government made laws that we couldn't worship you, that you are in control. And we know, Father, as your children, that we will still be able to worship you no matter what our government may say. And Father, help us to have that courage to know that with you, everything is possible. But we pray, Father, that our government would do things in accordance to your will, and help us, Father, to have the proper respect for them, even though, Father, there's times where they do things that is not worthy of respect. But help us, Father, as your children, to do the right things. We're so thankful, Father, for the leadership that we have, the elders. We continue to pray, and we thank you for the wisdom that they have now, and pray that you will continue to bless them with wisdom, that they will continue to shepherd the flock here. We ask that you would give them the health that they need, that they may continue to do so. We thank you for the love that they have for you. Because of that love for you, Father, they show that love to all of us. Help us to accept those things that they do to benefit us so that we would be right with you. We ask that you would bless their families as well, for we know that there's times where they are away from their families, and we ask that you would help them to accept those times when they have to do the work that is required of them. We thank you, Father, also for our deacons, for they do a lot of work that go unnoticed. We pray that they would continue to have that desire to do that work. For sometimes, Father, the work is tiresome, but we pray, Father, that they would continue to put that time and that effort in. But we also ask that you would continue to bless them with the wisdom that they need to continue in that work as well and be with their families. We thank you for this congregation here and ask that as we continue to grow, Father, that our love for you will grow even stronger. And because of it growing stronger, Father, that we could help others in this community and wherever else, that we may teach others and that others may obey the gospel because of your word. We ask, Father, that you would continue to, we're thankful for Scott and for Tyler as they continue to labor here. We ask that you would be with both of them and their families as well as they work among us. We ask that you would help us, that we would continue to encourage them and to help them as they work here, that we would work with them. And we thank you for their willingness to preach the gospel here, and we ask that you would increase their knowledge, that they may have a greater knowledge of your word, that they will continue to be able to reach those who may have doubt and those who may not know you yet. We want to continue to pray for those men that we support in different countries who are here in the city. We ask that you would continue to help them, that they may continue to uphold the truth. As they teach the truth, Father, help them to have a greater love for you, that it would benefit those who hear. We're so thankful for the love that you have for all of your children, and help us as your children to have that love for one another. We're so thankful that we have you as our Father, and we ask that you would watch over us and keep us safe. And as we end our journey here in this life, we pray that each of us would be with you in the end. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We're so thankful that you want to hear our supplications, our struggles, that you want to take our burdens away. And with that in mind, Father, we bring these names before you, knowing that you can help them in whatever they may be going through. Please be with those that have walked away from you. Help us to see our part and bring them back into the fold. Be with Austin Bremer, Julie Mullaney, Eric Van Skyke, and the Sampsons. We pray that we can say or do something that will help us to show your love to them, that they may see you and long to come back. There are many that are dealing with health challenges. Please heal them, restore them. Please be with the Lawsons. Be with Forrest and his brother Dan. With Mike Murphy and his daughter Erin. Stan and Reba, especially as Reba is dealing with cancer. Be with Sandy as she faces upcoming surgery. Be with Tyler's grandmother Barb. For Barb Davis's brother Chris, dealing with ALS. Please continue to be with Stacy and her uncle Mike as he recovers. Please be with Adrian and Jacob Burton and all those who are dealing with diabetes. Please be with Lloyd and Doreen, with Damon and Barb Turner's son Fred. Please be with her mom as well. For Jesse Embry and her sister Maria. With Brandy McCarty's sister, Brenna, and their close friend, Russell Carnley. There are many here dealing with chronic issues, such as Scott. Please be with them and help their pain to be managed. Be with those that are getting older, and the challenges that come with that. I pray that that will go as well as possible. There are many of our number who are grieving over loss of loved ones. We know that in you, Father, there is the peace that surpasses all comprehension. Please be with them and comfort them. With the Cup family and the passing of John's Aunt Lucille, with the Justices for losing Raymond, with the Burtons for losing Carl, the Gardners for losing Linda's mom, and the family of Rachel Whittemore and her aunt, Delilah. And there are many other struggles, Father, we know that may not be as open. Be with Beth Helton as her struggles. Be with those that may be dealing with the challenge of addiction, such as Jim Skinner's son Daniel and Evan Van Skyke. Those who may be dealing with financial hardships. Those dealing with depression and anxiety. We know that the mental aspect of things can be very difficult, as it can be easily hidden and not in plain sight. Be with our congregation, Father. We pray that those who may be qualified to be elders will eventually seek that role and eventually be appointed. As we are expanding our building, we pray that it will go smooth, that it's in your time, and hopefully allow more people to come out and worship you. Those that are serving in the military, we know they're in harm's way, especially Joshua Richardson. That whatever issues that have come up while he's gone, maybe be healed and that he will be okay, and they can all get back to us safely. We have election season coming up. Please be with the government leaders and the representatives. Pray that the things that they do will be in accordance with your will. Please be with the expecting mothers, that they will have safe deliveries and happy and healthy babies. Please be with the youth of our congregation. Pray that they will shine out their lights. They will be able to overcome the temptations that come their way, to remove the distractions that are out in the world, that they can strengthen their faith. And help us all to do that, for we know this is something we all need to strive to be, that we can all continue to grow and be closer to you. Thank you for hearing us, for listening to us, and for answering our prayers. And thank you most of all for your Son. And it's through his name that we pray. Amen.
I want to thank the men that led us in those prayers. I want to share with you one of my favorite prayers from the scriptures. It's found over in 2 Kings 19, if you want to open your Bibles there. I pray that all of us were engaged with that time that we've just had together, going before our God. Certainly there were many more names that could have been mentioned, many more circumstances, so many different things that are going on, ways that we can acknowledge God for who he is, the things that we can come and bring to him and confess to him, the reasons to be thankful and joyful and appreciative of, and certainly those things that we can ask of him and lean on him for in our time of need, all those things. We need to be doing this constantly in our lives. Well, there's something encouraging and strengthening about being together and doing that with one another. And I love this picture that 2 Kings gives of what prayer actually looks like. In 2 Kings 19, picking up in verse 14, we see that Isaiah the prophet has reassured the king Hezekiah that even though Assyria is coming in, there's this threatening after threatening and this army that's being presented, that they will be okay. Sennacherib sends this commander, and there's this letter that's delivered to them basically saying, you have no chance. You have no hope. God is not going to see you through this. We are going to take you down. And so the king takes this letter, and he goes into the temple. Read with me in verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. king of Hezekiah has this problem, very material problem. He can hold it in his hands. That's this letter. And see, I think a lot of us, when we come to these issues of life and things are handed to us and we have no idea what to do, we fidget with them or we try to fix them ourselves and we just try to look at it in all these different angles and handle it by my own standards or my best way of thinking. Hezekiah does not do that. He takes this letter and he goes straight to God and he spreads it out at his feet, as it were, and says, I don't know what to do. I have no power here. I can't do anything. But you, God, you can do everything. It is you who's going to make the difference here. I love that Hezekiah starts with this focus on God, that he's enthroned above the cherubim and that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I think there's something powerful about starting our prayers focused on God, about who he is, addressing him and acknowledging and reminding ourselves in that process just who we're talking to. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb. The one who made everything you see. The one who loved you before you even existed. This is the God that we serve and we address in our prayers. And this is the God that we bring our problems to, that we bring our pride to, we bring our pain and our pleasures, the good things that happen, and we lay them all at his feet for his honor and glory. No, starting with God frames the entire mindset of this prayer. And even as we've progressed through our prayers tonight, that order was intentional. Focusing on God first, focusing on our shortcomings, and realizing that God is faithful to forgive them and cleanse us from that unrighteousness. That there are so many ways that God has already answered prayers, and he proves himself time and time and time again. And there's so much that you and I have to be thankful for as individuals, as families, and as this congregation. And so when we finally get to the part when we're asking for something or need something or are struggling with something, we don't start there and say, what in the world are you going to do, God? It seems like such a small thing, perhaps. Once we've acknowledged all these ways that God is big, that he takes care of me, and he takes care of so much, even that I'm not aware of. Hezekiah's request in the end is, save us. I like that he adds, please. It's good manners. But it's a deeper reason, you see. If you read in verse 19, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. This prayer is about God being glorified in what happens. No matter the outcome, God will be glorified. Is that what I pray for in my life? Is that what we pray for here in this congregation? Like any form of communication, prayer is a reflection of the relationship that is between two parties. The communication you might have with your spouse or with a friend here at church, a coworker, your children, the way in which you talk to one another says something about the connection you have together. And the same is true for the way we address our Father and God. And sometimes it means that there is a disconnect. The prophet Isaiah makes a powerful statement. Now, chapter 59 and verse 2 of Isaiah, he says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. This is one of the many consequences of the brokenness that sin brings into our lives. We are separated from God. And it's not that he can't hear you or doesn't know what's going on with you, but the relationship is broken. God knows what's going on with you, and he hears the words that you speak. He still hears the thoughts and intentions of your heart. But it's the difference of knowing that person and being disconnected from that person. He does not hear it the same way. The man who was blind and was healed, as he's questioned by the Pharisees in John chapter 9 and verse 31, says something similar when he says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." It's about the relationship, about the connection that we have, and the incredible promise that in Christ Jesus, we have that reconciliation, and this incredible blessing that we can go to God with whatever scroll we might have in our hand, whatever bad news you might receive, whatever struggle, whatever burden you're bearing, and lay it at his feet, because Jesus Christ has done this for us. Ty read this for us at the beginning of our time together in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is the intermediary, the mediator between God and man. He is the one that ensures that a faithful child's voice can be heard by their loving Father in heaven. The key aspect of this is that he's able to save us to the uttermost when we are drawing near to God. But how do I do that? How may I, if I've broken that relationship, draw near to God? It's the faith that we have in him. The righteous shall live by faith, the Bible says. And that faith is belief in action, taking God's word and acting on it and in accordance with it. That I could be a child of his and know that he hears me. And for those of you who have drawn near to him and have become his child, do you continue to do that? Or do you go to someplace else with your joys and your pains and all the other things that life throws at you? Or do you go to the one who can handle all things? If you need to repent of any way that you might have sinned, that opportunity is here for you now. If you have not obeyed the gospel and become part of the family of God, that opportunity is here for you now. You can repent of the way that you've been living, confessing Jesus as the Son of God that he is, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be made a new creation, and walk in love, in light, and in wisdom, with all the wisdom and strength and power that God supplies. That you can go through this life knowing that your God hears your prayers, and he is a loving Father that will lead you home in the end. What can we do for you this evening? Is your relationship right with your God? He is longing for you to come home if something is not right between you two. What can we do for you? If there's anything at all that we can do, why don't you let us know while we stand and sing?